Hoff Zion Tamils, Tuesday the 30th of July, Dying Lady Yitzhak Raskin, Security on Shabbos.
Start their day before going to work, spend time to come and learn Divrei Torah. We are in the 3 weeks, and the focus is, well, we have in Chazal Zecher L'Churban, and we have Zecher L'Mikdosh. And they go together. There's one way of the focus, obviously, of the Zecher L'Churban, but the Zecher L'Mikdosh, perhaps there's a benefit of us focusing on learning more about the Beis HaMikdosh, and when we say V'Sechazeno Einenu, what are we looking forward to? And Baruch Hashem, there has certainly been a resurgence of interest in the Tzuras HaMikdosh and understanding what does it mean, the Beis HaMikdosh, and especially during these 3 weeks, many Yidden are learning more about this, about the Beis HaMikdosh. Actually, in my shul, in Stamford Hill, we're learning every night. We're learning in Sefer Yecheskel. In the last few chapters of Yecheskel, Yecheskel Hanovi is taken on a guided tour by a Malach. In his vision, a guided tour of the third Beis HaMikdosh. When they came to build the second Beis HaMikdosh, it was past Yecheskel. But Yecheskel, it was so cryptic, they couldn't understand everything which Yecheskel said. You know, in Jeff's, they didn't have the art scroll edition. And so, therefore, they incorporated in the Bais HaSheni some of the teachings of Yecheskel, but not all. And so, as we look through Yecheskel, we see that there's certainly things that are very different, but I'm not going to focus on Yecheskel now. I want to focus on, our topic is security on Shabbos. But what is interesting is that the beginning of the Mishnah in Midas, which is a description of the Beis HaMikdosh, it starts off with Bishloshim Mekoymos Hakoyanim Shoymrim BeBeis HaMikdosh. That's the beginning of Maseches Tomid, and that's the beginning of Maseches Midas, is the idea of Shmira of the Mokim HaMikdosh. So that's in the Mishnah. And then we have in the Rambam, where the halachas of the Beis HaMikdosh are discussed, is in Sefer Avoido, in the Perek Ches of Hilchas Beis HaBechira. The Rambam, at the beginning of every Sefer, he has a posuk, like a title, which he quotes from somewhere. And here, at the beginning of Sefer Avoido, which talks about the Avoido Beis HaMikdosh, he has the Shalu Shloim Yerushalayim. Ask Vastutzach, how is Yerushalayim doing? And that's what we're doing now. We are showing our interest in what is about Yerushalayim. And I believe the word of Shmira also means anticipate. As we have Oviv Shomar Es Hadovor by Yaakov Avinu, so the Shomar Es Hadovor to say, when's it going to happen? So especially in this time when it's this moment of Zecher L'Churban, there's a moment of Shmira, of anticipation, when will be the Geula with Moshiach Tzidkenu? So now we have the beginning of Perek Ches of Beis HaBechira. The Rambam says, Shmira Samikdosh Mitzvahs Aseh. There's a Mitzvahs Aseh in the Torah to have Shmira. And he says, even though there's no fear of enemies and from robbers, She'en Shmirosa Eloi Kovod Loi. It's a expression of honor. Einu Doim Lepalton She'yesh Olof Shomri Lepalton She'en Olof Shomri. This, you can't compare a palace which has guards to the honor of a palace which doesn't have guards. And actually, going back about, I don't know, I'm sure, there was in Yerushalayim, perhaps 80 years ago or perhaps earlier, there was a particular Yid who was trying to, this is obviously before 1948, and he wanted to push that there should be a Yiddish Shmira at the Mokem HaMikdosh. Because as far as he understood, it's a mitzvah say, even bisman shahim shemeimin. Even when there's no mikdash there, but there should be guards on the side. That, well, is it happening? Do you not happen? For better or for worse, I guess there is some kind of shmira over there. And that brings us to the Zecher L'Churban situation, where, unfortunately, in recent times, there's become a an awareness to have security in shuls on Shabbos, or Bechal in shuls, the tragic incidents which took place, whether it was in Pittsburgh, and then Achron Shul Pesach in Poway, in California. And so this has brought to the pardon, and Harnoff going back several years earlier, you're right. And so then that raises the question of security in shuls, and Shabbos obviously makes it more complicated. About a week or two after Pesach, I got a call from a colleague in Switzerland, and he wants to know whether it's okay to have one of his mespalim has got a license to have a firearm. Is it okay for him to have it in shul for Shabbos? So this is really one of the things which I'd like to talk about. I understand that this is not a question relevant in the UK, because you wouldn't be allowed to have a firearm unless there would be very special circumstances. But this is relevant in other countries where people have license to have a firearm, they would be allowed to have it with them. And so the question is about having a firearm in shul and having a firearm in shul on Shabbos. So I'm going to look at that, and then I'll look through security cameras and... Pardon?
Cameras.
I want to go through cameras and sensors which will come through. So let's spend a couple of minutes about the firearms, which are, you know, they are less relevant. We'll go through it quickly then. In Shulchan Aruch it says you're not to do your kones to a shul wearing carrying a large knife. It's written in Shulchan Aruch not to carry a weapon into shul, because the shul is a place for arichas yomim, and a knife is for the opposite. And so there is this objection. This is relevant more, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, Yiddish boys who are on off duty, but they have their weapon with them. They want to go in Davar Mincha. Are they allowed to bring their weapon with them into shul? So there is a discussion about this in contemporary poskim. Here we're not talking about bringing a weapon to shul in order, because you know you're on the way somewhere and you have your weapon with you. Here we're actually talking about protection, so it would be more justified. On the other hand, it is doesn't look right. And if they would, this fellow who asked me from Switzerland, I said if he does bring his weapon, he should keep it covered, and if chas v'shalom it's necessary, he has it to hand. The other issue is about muksa. A firearm is obviously muksa. It's, besides it being made to kill someone, which is not exactly a Shabbatic activity, but it's also it's made to produce fire, and therefore it's got a din of muksa. Now, in muksa we've got various levels. We've got what's called a kalisha malachta li'isur. So a hammer is used for building, but if you wanted to use a hammer to keep the door open, or as a paperweight, you would be allowed to. So we have a sort of flexibility with a kli shemalach tel isu. But then you have a kind of implement which is never going to be improvised with. You're never going to do anything else with it than other than its designated purpose. You would not take, if you play the clarinet, you're not going to use the clarinet as a paperweight. It's put away in a velvet, it's a lined case. It's and the halachic precedent is the shoychet's knife, the moyel's knife. You don't use them for anything else. So if you have a packet of bamba and you want to cut it open, and you got no other knife other than the shechita knife. So this is the knife is called muksa machmas chesrin kis. It's such a delicate instrument, or such a specific instrument. You would never improvise with it, and therefore you cannot use it for anything else, which you're not allowed to move it. So a firearm, I would think, is also in this category. You'd never improvise with a firearm to do anything else other than its designated purpose, and therefore you wouldn't be able to use the principle of the tzolach gufo mekayem. So I think it does come into quite a strict level of muksa. On the other hand, because of the circumstances, I felt that putting the firearm in a bag, together with a box of crackers or something, something which is not muksa, would be a method to be able to move it from place to place in the circumstances. Although normally, when we have a keli, when we've got muksa and non-muksa together, the heter would be to move it because you need the non-muksa. Here you want to move it because of the muksa. And therefore, really, it's not a glatter heter.
Carrying it. Carrying it on the body.
So what I'm suggesting, this is, I'm talking about this shul in Switzerland, I suggested that he keeps the firearm in the office, in a bag, with a box of crackers, comes to shul, whatever, 9 o'clock in the morning, he'll take that bag, and it looks very innocent, he'll bring it to his place, he'll stand in his place, and that would be enough to cover that if chas v'sholem there is a need for it, it's there next thing.
Okay. Maybe it's a chiyuv to carry. Is that like not a side to think about?
Yes, of course. There is going to be levels of how the level of alert. When there is a greater threat, then of course, pekuach nefesh pushes everything aside.
And then do you have to?
Yes. Then you wouldn't be asking any questions. Because Hashoyol Harezim is a Shoyfech Domim and Hanishal Harezim Aguna. But to say that our shuls today are on the level of alert to say it's Pikuach Nefesh, that you have to be Michal Shabbos, that would be a very extreme position. David Shul's all hidden, we shouldn't know, but I don't think we're on that level.
Never know.
Okay, well, we're taking precautions. There is actually, how do you quantify the halacha? Yeah, how do you quantify what is a probability a concern? And poskim talk about if it's less than 1 in 1,000, then that's considered not a real concern. And but this is a very difficult question: how to apply this 1 in 1,000. So I was listening to a program called Yeshiva Shel Ma'alo, which some of you may listen to, and they had a whole talk about this, and it's a webcast, a podcast. So while I'm driving, instead of listening to Nick Ferrari, I listen to... I prefer to listen to this. More interesting. And so I downloaded it on my phone. Actually, as I was coming here, I was also listening to something else, fascinating stuff. And so they had this... they were saying that... Pittsburgh and Powell. So that's not enough to make it a concern. I don't think that is a fair, reasonable cheshbon, because unfortunately, if you know that, follow the news, in America, every Monte Gadolish district, there's another. Who says it has to be a shul? There's also Israel a shul. And so therefore, to say that it's just two shuls, I think the cheshbon is not genuine. You have to say, what is the likelihood of such a event happening bichlal in this part of the world?
Is it 1 in 1,000 of the threats?
That's why I'm saying, yeah. So that's why I'm saying,
threats.
Yes. So
I'm saying, like, if we didn't walk around with security, a lot more would want to work.
Okay, so we can take that. So that's what I'm saying. It's very difficult to be koveya that it's a case of pikuach nefesh today. I don't think people think when they look for sure.
If we didn't know security,
so that there should be security, but it doesn't necessarily require Chilul Shabbos. If it would be a high alert, so let's say in Eretz Yisrael, they would maybe a heter for driving around with a car on Shabbos in the areas where there's a high risk. I don't think we are, Baruch Hashem, I don't think we're anywhere near that. Therefore, instead of saying we're going to be free reign, no worries about Chilul Shabbos, we'll say yes, it's okay, it's a mokem hatzorich, but not on the level of pikuach nefesh. Let's move on to having security cameras in place. Now, what exactly is the issue of walking in front of a security camera? You're being videoed. Now, do you remember those old floppy disks?
Yes.
Do you remember when it said this disc has to be reformatted?
Right.
Or format has not been formatted. Okay, so when you take a disc, you'd have to format it, you could say that formatting the disc is called boine or makabatish. You're completing the keli. I don't think a video camera with or without an image is incomplete. I don't think feeding a video image into a camera is completing a camera. So I don't think Makar Patish applies in our instance at all. Is it koysev? Is using electronic storage of information, does it come under koysev? Now, this is really, for me, very relevant more for Chol HaMoed. I've got 4 or 5 days, and I'm often sitting in front of a keyboard, as in with a screen in front, writing articles, whatever, editing. I once spent a few days, Chol HaMoed, kind of editing for someone, and then afterwards I looked into whether I'm allowed to charge for my time in Chol HaMoed. And then it came to the Maskona that I wasn't allowed to charge for my time, so they got a good few hours free of charge. At any rate, so is writing on a computer, is that called writing? So the Reb Shlomo Zalman takes the view that it's not called writing, it's just, you know, you've got the electronic pixels, whatever exactly the details are, he does not see that as writing. On the other hand, Rav Vosner, the Shevet HaLevi, he does view entering data into a computer, he does view this as writing, and there's a certain logic to it. And nowadays, how do we store information today? You know, this is the equivalent of writing, this is how people store information today. So I could understand that writing, feeding information into a computer would be called writing. I still don't think that walking in front of a camera comes under koysev. It's not the normal. If you want to have a picture, you don't walk in front of. If you want to have a portrait, a chasna picture, you don't just have, you know, a video passing by in front of a camera. You get the Shem Yichud, you get a photographer, and they pose. That's not the way to make images of people, by just having a video camera. And therefore, to say that is called koysev, that's the way of making pictures, the pictures are happening, but I don't think that would be coming under the gather of koysev, even according to the Shem Kale. Pardon?
The castle wants to catch you speeding, and they use the camera as evidence.
Yes.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah, we're going to come to that, yes. So, all right. So walking for a person to walk in front of a camera, there doesn't see, as far as I've asked about this, there does not seem to be any significant change in the electrical pulses. So you don't see, doesn't seem to be any malocha at all by you walking in front of a camera. But of course, we have to be sensitive to senses. Yeah, sorry for the pun. But there are sensors, which means that when you pass by, it switches on something, it activates something. And that's obviously a different story. Many of the video cameras, which are up for security, do not work on sensors. They're just running the whole time. There are some which, when you pass by, then they are activated by movement. And that, of course, does raise the question. You're kind of switching on the camera as you pass by. Now, this brings us to the problem, which is much less in England, but let's say in France, most even in Paris live in apartment buildings. It's very difficult to find a house, you know, as we call it, buy into the gun, like we have in Stamford Hill, Golders Green. Everyone lives in apartment buildings, and they have this problem of the lights in the corridors. Door entry systems, big headache, and the lighting, where you come through to your house and the lights go on, all in the all for saving energy. And nafshon b'sheilosam, how are they meant to manage on Shabbos? Now, I mentioned about psikresha d'loy nichole, and the general psak is the following. I'm talking now about lighting in corridors. Some of you may be going on holiday to somewhere where you'll have the same problem, where in the corridor in your where you're staying, there are lights which will go on Shabbos. The issue is like this. If there are reduced lights where it's not pitch black, in any case, but when you walk through, it activates a larger light, a more pleasant and more adequate light, then you could say, I could manage without that light. I could manage, I could find my way, I'd be safe. The fact that the bigger lights go on, I'm not interested in. And therefore you could use the principle of psikresha de loini chale, which means it's taki inevitable that the lights would, that are going to go on. But I don't need it, I can manage without it. And that's the heter used for people in the apartment buildings where there is reduced lighting. The problem is, I was in, you see I've got a shaifas to Switzerland, I was in Lugano and I was went to the local shliach, Rabbi Kantor, and I was there for a Shabbos, and I walked through the corridor, it was pitch black. He manages, everyone else, the Ein Yehudim, they're using the elevator, they're using the lift. So the corridors are pitch black, and he managed to isolate the sensor, but as I was walking down the stairs, I skipped a step and I fell. And Baruch Hashem, I survived. Yes, that stopped, yeah? Baruch Hashem. But in pitch black is a shikul sakana. And so...
it was nichel.
So if there had been the light of God, it would have been nichel. Yeah. So there we are. So if the activating of the sensor is something to your benefit, then we do have a problem. If there is no benefit from that, then we can use the principle of sikresha lo nichala. It's like inevitable, that's going to happen, but it's not of your interest, and that would be okay. Similar, opening a fridge. It's going to activate the thermostat, because warm air is going to gush into the fridge, and that's going to activate the thermostat, and it's going to switch on the motor. But you're not interested in warm air coming into your fridge. As far as you're concerned, let it stay out. So therefore, again, these are instances of a sikresha. It's inevitable. There's also there's another aspect of groma. Psikresh below nichele is a method of an approach of heter. Now, coming back to our security cameras. When there is a security camera by a shul or whatever it may be, are we interested to be filmed, to be on the video? It's not my kavona, it's not the kavona of the shul security personnel. They're not interested in getting me on camera. They want to have surveillance for the people who are troublemakers. And therefore, all the mispalalim, etc., who would be on camera, that would be a psikresha de loy nichele, and therefore you would be allowed to move it in position.
Is that how it works, psikresha? I'm saying, as a mispalal, you're a member of the shul, so let's say you agree to have the security, you want the
But who do you want? Who do you want to be to
Even if I want the light for the candles, but
for yourself, you're activating is loinichale. I was reading about this in the Piskei Tshuvos, etc., and they say, you know what? Besides the fact that England, they don't talk about how England has got such a saturation of cameras wherever you are in camera. You know what? In most of the world, you're on camera because of satellites. So you should always be smiling when you walk in the street because you're always on camera. Okay, so, but that's loinichala, you're not interested, you have no interest, and so you're gone. So that really is not the problem.
The microphone. The microphone, when you can hear without it, but it just gives an added sound, in short, or beyond.
I'm not there yet. I know that the London Besten has given permission for shuls to have what's called, the ring.
Induction.
I once spoke to Dan Entreschnitter about this, how they were martyr this, but no one's been martyr microphones on Shabbos. I'm not talking about Hamish or Pascal. Okay, well, let's come back.
Hearing aids
is the only important. Yes, I'll tell you what. You brought it up. Right, Dan Entreschnitter explained to me his understanding of this.
Yeah.
When I'm speaking to you, what's happening is that my sound waves are coming into your ears.
Yeah.
Why is that not an issur of mashmiya koil? There's an issur of broadcasting sound on Shabbos called mashmiya koil. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm mashmiya koil. Elomai, you must say, that mashmiya koil means when it's blasting into the open air. But if it comes into someone's ear, that's not called mashmiya koil. So therefore he wanted to use the same heter to say, since the induction loop is only broadcasting to ears, but not into the open space, therefore it's not included in the Issur of Mashmiya Koil. That was, in short, his cheshbon.
See, the same with the tuning fork.
Basically, you already have Aruch HaShulchan talks about it, yeah? Okay, let's come back.
According to that school, we had a sound-activated tape recorder or a sound device that spoke towards it, it would switch on.
There's two separate issues. One is... No, I don't think it's got comes at all. Here we're talking about Isum Mashmiya Koil. But here, when you walk past something, Reb Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach talks about when you activate something by your body, you didn't touch with your hands, you just walk by and it switches something on. Is that called you did it? And he feels that is called your maaseh. Yes. But if you want to, let's say, if you've got a phone, you say, hey Siri, Mahmoud will say. That wouldn't be allowed.
The one who's speaking to him is also
Michele.
He wants to be heard,
he wants to hear. Yes, but it's not activated. You're not activated. Okay. Let's move on. Several years ago, Baruch Hashem, they made a chasana in Brazil. And there, you walk the streets, you want to go anywhere, everything is like fortresses. The apartment buildings, there's such a high crime rate. Everything is... you want to go into your house, there's two levels of security, etc. So now, you come to your house, or you come to the shul, and there's a security guard, he sees you there, he sees you're innocent enough, so he presses a button, and then you come into the first room, then, what's it called, airlock or something to call the system, then you're in the first room, then first door closes, he lets you into the second. So isn't that a problem that he's doing a melacha every time you come to shul or you come to your house? So a goy is doing a melacha for you. Isn't that a problem? So how do we allow that on Shabbos? So the way Foskim say is the following. Actually, there would be a more primitive alternative that the security guard, he sees this fellow, jump off his seat, come to the door, but unbolt the door, let him in, and then do it like that. If you do that, all right, it will take him as much more effort. So why is he pressing the buzzer? He's pressing the buzzer to make life easier for himself.
No, that's how the system works. It's not because of himself.
Why does the system work like that?
No, because that's how the install system. No, it's not because of making it easier for yourself. That's how the install system. You can't come with...
Why?
You put in the system because it works automatically. That's how it works. Then you see somebody on the screen, you press the button, that's how it's...
You're not totally wrong. I'll tell you where this came up. Another 30 seconds. I had the shayla from the Shliach in Madrid, Rabbi Goldstein, Zayn Gesund, and in the local shul, they couldn't find a Jew to press the buzzer. And so they couldn't find a goy to press the buzzer. So they said, Jew. So he says, I've got your side, the Shabbos Zohar, whatever it may be. I go to shul. I know if I come to shul, there's going to be a yid pressing the buzzer. Am I allowed to go to shul? And obviously, there's a certain fanachlasik out there, why they can't find, in Madrid, can't find any goy to press the buttons. But anyway, I actually got a tshuva from Harav Yitzhak Yosef, Rav Aroshi, a 5-page tshuva about of Gromer, and of course he recommends that should be, that it's not allowed to have a yid pressing the button. You have to have, but again, since it's a question of security, then that's the obviously the tzad heter, and
Im Hashem lo yishmo
er shov shakat shomer, the rikki is to have bitochen, and the Eibusha should look of Shomer, all Eden, wherever they are.
Sure.